This is Timothy Dugan, Chairman of Stark & Stark's Bankruptcy and Creditors Rights Group, with the New Jersey Legal Update for the week ending October 14, 2005. In this week's podcast, I will discuss the Bankruptcy Abuse Prevention and Consumer Act that goes into effect on Monday, October 17, 2005. While the act will mostly impact personal bankruptcy filing, there are also provisions of the act that businesses such as retail chains and commercial landlords need to be aware of. Among the types of creditors that fare well under the new law are commercial landlords, including landlords who have retail tenants. For example, under the old law, a Chapter 11 debtor would have 60 days to decide whether or not to assume or reject a commercial lease. That time period, however, could be extended for an unlimited amount of time at the discretion of the court, and oftentimes it would be extended for 2 or 3 years. Under the new law, there's now a maximum of 7 months without the written consent of the landlord. What's interesting about the way the act was drafted is the 60-day time period was extended to 120 days, with the debtor being entitled to get one 90-day extension. So when you add those together, it's a maximum of 210 days. After that time period, you need the landlord's consent, which clearly will give some leverage to the landlord. What's the practical impact of this? The landlord and tenant will still have to negotiate at the end of the 210-day time period. For example, although a debtor may not be able to get an extension, and the landlord may ask for some type of additional concession, ultimately you're still left with the realities of the situation and the market condition. Is this lease above or below market? Does the landlord need to make certain he has an anchor tenant? These are the types of factors that come into any negotiation and will again have to be negotiated at the end of the 7-month time period. On the debtor side, it's going to require a lot more planning before the bankruptcy petition is filed. You don't have several years to make the decision to keep or reject a location. Oftentimes, retail tenants that file for bankruptcy will try to get through 1 or 2 holiday seasons to determine whether or not this is a facility to keep. With a 7-month time period, you're not going to be able to do that. More important is, with the law going into effect on Monday, any tenant that files now, any retail tenant, is not going to have the benefit of getting through a holiday season to develop some or accumulate some cash reserves. So I do think the time of the act will have an impact on retail chains, as well as the shifting the leverage, more leverage over to the landlords. The second thing that's going to impact commercial landlords is the exclusivity period. Under the existing law, during the first 120 days of a bankruptcy case, only the debtor may file a disclosure statement, which is the first step in confirming a plan. Like the under the old law with the 6-day time period landlords, this time period could be extended indefinitely, and oftentimes in big cases, the judge would grant extensions for a year or two to prohibit other parties from coming in and trying to confirm their own plan. Now, under the new law, there's a maximum of 18 months for extensions of the exclusivity period to file a disclosure statement. That's only a year and a half into a case where the debtor will have to either file their own disclosure statement or risk having another creditor or a creditors committee, possibly a competitor, come in and file their own plan. When you look at the limitations on the time to assume or reject a commercial lease and the limitation on exclusivity, I do believe it may be easier for certain creditors to force liquidations as opposed to reorganizations. This shorter time period is going to put a lot of stress on commercial tenants, the retail chains, and may not have the luxury of obtaining the bankruptcy protection for several years while they seek to renegotiate. Among the other rights that don't necessarily directly impact commercial landlords, although they may come across them, there have been some changes to defending preference claims. Those are claims brought by either the debtor or a creditors committee seeking to recover pre-bankruptcy payments. One of the changes that were made is it's much easier now to defend used in the ordinary course of business defense. That is a defense that allows a creditor who received a pre-bankruptcy payment during the 90 days before the bankruptcy to argue the payment was made pursuant to ordinary business terms. That defense is much easier to use now. It's a little too technical for this podcast, but it's something to look at if you are sued after October 17, 2004. Also, the bankruptcy law tightened up and got rid of an abusive practice, which is debtors and creditors committee seeking to recover very small preferences. Payments under $5,000 cannot be recovered under the new law, and preference claims under $10,000 must be filed in the state where the creditor lives. Under the old practice, oftentimes a debtor or a creditors committee would send demand letters out from the state where the petition was filed to out-of-state creditors demanding the return of $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000. Those creditors were stuck between a rock and a hard place because if they go to a lawyer, retain a lawyer, spend several thousand dollars analyzing the claim, it's just not cost effective. So many people looked at this as a form of extortion by making these small claims, forcing these creditors to return money when they did in fact have valid claims. One of the provisions that most creditors are going to be happy with are the limitations on the key employee retention plans. Those are the oftentimes in bankruptcies, to keep your management in place, you may provide them with bonuses and also there may be pre-bankruptcy severance packages. Bonuses to insiders are prohibited under the new law unless the court, based upon the evidence before it, finds basically three factors. One is the bonus is essential to the retention of the employee because he has a bona fide job offer from another entity at the same or higher rate of compensation. This seems to require that before a bonus is paid, someone must go out and actually get another job offer of at least the same or higher rate of compensation. Second, the bonus is essential to the survival of the debtor's business. You must show that this person is extremely important to the business. And third, the amount does not go beyond a cap provided by the statute. That cap is tied into the amounts that other non-management employees get, and it can't be more than 10 times what their severance packages are. So clearly Congress was saying, yes, you can, if necessary, give certain types of bonuses to keep the management in place. However, it is not a Christmas morning for these people. There are some other changes that are going to make it more difficult for retail chains to file, including the changes to how you have to deal with utilities. This is going to have a major impact, really from a planning point of view, for the retail chains who may have 2,000 or 3,000 stores and may have to deal with numerous utility companies. One of the provisions under the old and new law is when you file for bankruptcy, utilities must be provided with some sort of adequate protection. Under the old law, you could look to your past payment history. You could offer what we call an administrative expense as a way of protecting the utilities. Now that's changed. The court cannot look to the past payment history, and the adequate protection must be satisfactory to the utility company, and oftentimes is going to require the debtor to come up with cash, CD, letter of credit. So you have this new cash requirement at the beginning of the case, coupled with the shorter time periods to decide what locations to keep, and this can be very important for the debtor to have a good idea of which locations it's going to keep before it files for bankruptcy. And it very may well be in the best interest of the debtor to reach out to the landlords early on in the case to try to get them on board to get extensions over the 7-month time period if the tenant needs to get through 2 or 3 holiday cycles or other seasonal changes, for example, summer seasons for certain types of businesses. In summary, the main impact on commercial landlords is the debtors are going to be forced to come to them much earlier to either renegotiate the terms of the lease or make a decision to assume or reject the lease. I think this will provide more certainty for landlords. However, they're still going to be in the position of having to negotiate with the debtor based upon market conditions. That's the reality of a free market with rents going up and down. Is this a good or bad lease? Second, the commercial landlords are going to have to decide earlier in the case of whether to grant extensions while the debtor tries to reorganize. You have much more onerous conditions on the debtor, which ultimately may lead to more liquidations. The landlords may, at certain times, have to try to read tea leaves to see whether or not this case is going to be successful, whether they should force the debtor to make the decision within 7 months in order to get their facilities back. Should you wish to learn more about how the Bankruptcy Abuse Prevention and Consumer Act may impact your business, you can contact me at 609-895-7353 or email me at tbuggan@stark-stark.com. And make sure you tune in next Friday for another edition of New Jersey Update by Stark & Stark. In the meantime, visit us at the website at stark-stark.com or njlawblog.com for regular updates on important legal developments taking place in the Garden State.